Last week on Prince Side Up,
a lady called Florence Henderson.
Oh, God.
Did you hear the news on her?
No, I have not.
Oh, boy.
Mama Brady.
Well, she wrote a new book. And, of course, you write a book, they're going to talk about the most, you know, craziest thing in this autobiography. Apparently, she scored some crabs from a New York City mayor.
Wife is having a hissy because I have two 350Zs, and she does not have a boob job. Yeah, John Candy. Oh, you're like, did the moose at the door say? Welcome, everyone, to the newest edition of Prince Side Up. This is episode number 4. My name is Mike. I am one of your hosts. Unfortunately, Eric could not be here for this week's edition. Hopefully, I sound good enough for everybody. I had a filling replaced earlier today, and my mouth is still a little bit sore, but I wanted to get this podcast out there as soon as possible since we didn't have one last week. The week was quite crazy between work and scheduling and with Memorial Day coming up that we just could not squeeze it in. I again would like to thank everyone that has previously downloaded our podcast. The numbers have been looking great, so we're going to keep doing it. Just to kind of go over some stuff that's happened since last time. It was Memorial Day weekend. Family and I were able to get in our first camping trip. It did rain a bit on Sunday and Monday during the pack up. Quite a few beers were drank. Some s'mores were eaten. We did play a new camping type game. It could be like a backyard, you know, patio kind of game. It's called Koob. It's spelled K-U-B-B. The rules are pretty easy, and it's pretty easy to even make yourself. One of our camping people made his own version of it. Basically, is a combination of bowling and horseshoes. It is on Wikipedia. It's a long game. I'm just kind of reading off of Wikipedia. Koob is a lawn game where the object is to knock over wooden blocks, known as koobs, by throwing wooden batons at them. It's shaped like a rectangle, and you take these wooden pegs and you throw them underhand, end over end, and try to knock the koobs on the other side. The strategy on it is really easy. There's probably some YouTube videos on it. It's a lot of fun. If you get a few people together that we were able to figure it out, basically in one game, it can be any size that you want for however much space that you have. I know this is pretty vague, but I don't want to go through the specifics of it all, but it is fairly easy to play. A combination of bowling and horseshoes. Feel free to look that up. It was a good time. Brand new game to us. We play a few other camping games, obviously, like bags. This one is definitely a little bit different and a lot of fun. Something else that's been going on, I was lucky enough to get my next round of Lego minifigures in the mail yesterday. I do collect those. I am a Lego fan. I've kind of cut back on my Lego buying and just kind of kept it towards the minifigures. The newest group of Lego minifigures that are out right now are the Simpsons 2 minifigures. I did order 19 of them, hopefully that I would not get too many duplicates. I was able to get 12 out of the 16 possible that are different. The only ones I'm missing are Maggie and Santa's Little Helper, the comic book guy, Professor Frink, and Hans Moleman. This set is pretty cool. There is some similarities between Series 1 and Series 2. You do get another Homer, Bart, Maggie, and Lisa, and Marge. But they're obviously dressed different. Bart is in his Bartman outfit. You have Homer is dressed formal, and so is Marge. Best looking one on here is probably Groundskeeper Willie, is probably my favorite. Hans Moleman is kind of cool. You do get Smithers. You do get Mr. Burns was in the first set, which took me, he was the last one I was able to find. He is quite expensive. It did cost me about $7, I believe, on eBay to complete that set. There are, of the minifigures, there are 13 different series of them. I've been collecting them now for, I think, about 3 years, 3 to 4 years. First one they didn't make many of, so the value of that one is quite high. I know it cost me, I think, about $98 to put that set together. I don't know, it's just something about them I really find interesting. They don't take up much space. So with the Legos I do have the series 1 through 13. Both Simpsons, I am minus the 4, which I just mentioned. There is a Lego Movie series that it seemed to duplicate a lot of the other minifigs that I already had, except for there's like an Abraham Lincoln and a few other ones that I thought were kind of cool, but for some reason I'm just not really that interested in having that part of the set. But someday, if I'm hoping to probably have a complete set, I might have to go dive into trying to find those things. But let's dive into print in the news. There isn't a whole lot going on that I didn't want to wait for Eric on. The one main story that I saw, not really a happy story at all. Let's play the intro.
Print in the news.
Two main news stories that I was able to find aren't really that exciting, unfortunately. We have a former student that ended up murdering his print shop director in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I did some research on it on the internet, and basically what happened is the person that was doing the shooting is a neo-Nazi. He's got a few facial tattoos with the number 88 on them. The police indicated like the 88 has something to do with the letter H is the eighth letter in the alphabet. So 88 stands for HH or Heil Hitler. The person that he shot supposedly is gay, from what I can tell from the story. His comment was the reason that he had done it, the victim had hit on him and his brother, so that was the reason why he had lashed out. That's probably enough of that story. You can look that one up if you really want to. That guy is quite interesting looking. He's got a facial tattoo and like a neck tattoo. He looks like quite a character. The other story, basically a former business manager stole $10 million of bogus printing invoices. Basically what he did was he worked for a hospital. This is in Houston, Texas. Made up a bogus P.O. box, sent in some invoices, sent out payments to this fictitious company, and to the tune of $10 million. Basically what he did with that is, it says here that renovated his home. He used the money for overseas vacations to China, England, Germany, Iceland, the Netherlands. It says, auditors received an anonymous tip last month outlining the scam. Basically, it was fired during the investigation. I would think that red flags would definitely go up if you're making that many trips overseas. You know, somebody that works as the hospital's printing and mail services manager wouldn't be making a whole lot of money. You would think that a red flag would pop up there. He was also, this should have been a red flag to start with. He had a previous brush with theft, which he was in the slammer for. He was a disbarred lawyer. He was convicted of felony theft, misappropriation for clients' funds. He served 5 months of a 5-year prison sentence. Well, he should have been in there longer. 3 years later, in 1996, he was hired by that hospital, working in a division managed by his mother, which basically explains how he got the job. Well, he's going to be going away for a while. Basically, his plea bargain includes restitution to the health system, which requires him to relinquish all of his financial assets, including his home, vehicles, retirement plan, according to the newspaper that published the story. So two happy stories, I guess, for you for printing the news this week. Yeah, we're just going to cut it short. I just wanted to say hi and just letting you know that we're still out there. We're still trying to get a special guest together for you. It just has not worked out between work and a family tragedy that she had. But hope to be back next week with the both of us. And thanks for listening again. This is Mike.
Yeah, PSU Podcast on Twitter. Max will tell us what my Twitter handle is.
MikeOB_WI.
And mine is JohnsonFamily79.